Our New Testament reading today is going to be out of Matthew, out of chapter 6, and we're going to read together, and we're going to be quoting the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand, if they would, please, as we read together our Lord's Prayer, okay? And this is out of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, all right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we love you, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you. Lord God, whether we realize it or not, for the just and the unjust, you open your hand and the whole world is fed. You're a faithful God. Everything you do is right and holy. Oh God, we know that we come to worship you, but it's you're the one who gives the blessing, Lord God. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we exalt you this day, as we listen to this sermon that our pastor has prepared, Father, that you would open our hearts, our eyes, if you will help us to understand the truth that is in your word, Lord God, that we will be equipped, Lord God, to go into the world, Lord Jesus, and exhibit your loving grace, your loving mercy, your holiness, and your wisdom, Lord God, to a thirsty, thirsty people. Please bless the Baileys, Father, in their ministry. Please bless these children, and please bless us, Lord God, as we come to seek your word and understand. We ask this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Back to this morning, last week I was in Chicago on the Oak Park. There was a conference and able to see Andrew. I just want to thank Chris for filling in for me, for opening up God's word and feeding you well. Thank Faith for filling in the gap. There's a vacuum that opens up when I'm not here, and the brains of the operation is Faith behind the scenes making that happen. For Steve every week, for making the audio and video online. Andrew's service started around 10:30 Central, and we were able to watch a little bit in the parking lot. I got through the first point of your sermon, Chris, and then we went inside. And just how thankful I am that for the church, with the generosity, set money aside, that I could go to a conference, just be encouraged and fed and reaffirming what I need to be doing and what I'm doing, and keep going. And I just really walked away also how much I love y'all and how thankful I am for y'all, and what a wonderful ministry and place and family I have to be able to serve the Lord with. With that being said, it was a preaching conference, so my preaching is going to be so much better now because of it. No, just kidding. I just learned everything I'm doing wrong. But we today open up the book of Matthew. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going in this particular portion through the Lord's Prayer line by line. So we're actually, normally we focus in on 4, 5, 6 verses, whatever that paragraph or pericope may be. But today we focus in on one line. This morning we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, feed us with the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, through your word, by the power of the Spirit, to the glory of the Father. Give us focus, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that love and long to be like Jesus, to know Jesus, and to make him known. In Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Three aspects of this, because honestly there are many different sermons we could do on the give us this day our daily bread. So what I wanted to do is a little journalistic feel. What are we to ask for? What is this bread, this daily bread we're to ask? And I discovered it's actually a great question the last 2,000 years of the church, people have been asking, what is this daily bread? And then the question of who are we to ask for our daily bread? And then the question, why are we asking? Why do we need to ask for our daily bread? Let's start to look at the first question. What are we to ask for? In verse 11 in the Lord's Prayer, if you've noticed, there's a shift. The first three requests, you have the intro and then three requests that have to do with the, when their focus is on God, His holiness, His kingdom, His will for our lives. But then there's a shift in verse 11, specifically on ourselves, our bread, our debts and debtors, and then ultimately our deliverance. Jesus is not simply giving us what words we're to pray, but He's teaching us now the things we are to pray for, the things we are to seek, the things we are to desire. And the first thing He teaches us to pray for is our daily bread. Bread was a staple of the ancient diet for the poor and for the prisoners. It composed almost the entirety of their meal. But even on those who were wealthy, bread was a significant part of that meal. Bread was necessary for life for the listeners of Jesus. But also bread was significant in the story of God's people. This morning, Larry read for us out of Exodus chapter 16, how for 40 years the Lord by His grace provided each morning bread that came down from heaven. And each day the people would rise up and collect this gift of manna, or as the Moses says, the bread from heaven that was provided. Numbers, going and telling the story to this next generation, says this: you gave them bread from heaven. Their hunger and brought water for them from the rock for their thirst. You told them to go in to possess the land that you had sworn to give them. So when we hear bread, some of you are gluten-free and you try to stay away from bread. Some of you don't like the squishy white Wonder Bread. Some of you like Panera, but other things, or maybe you just don't like bread. But bread was a staple of the diet of the people, not only in their daily existence, but the story of His people. So when Jesus is telling us in this very first thing to pray for our daily bread, what is He teaching us? What is He telling us to pray for? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is teaching us to take our essential daily needs to our Heavenly Father, both physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, the daily bread that we need. The use daily bread, literally, is a figure of speech known as a synecdoche, which would substitute a part of something for the whole. Let me give you a few examples to try to get this. When I say boots on the ground, you know that I don't mean literal just pair of shoes on the ground. I mean soldiers, all of the soldiers, but it's an emphasis of one part of that soldier. Here's another one. I gave Denise my hand in marriage. I actually gave her all of me, but the use of this type of speech was to one part that I gave to Denise my hand in marriage. Or I have mouths to feed at home. I don't have just mouths. I have whole children that need to be fed, but emphasizing one part of those children. So when Jesus says that we are to go to our Heavenly Father for our daily bread, He's not calling them to ask for literal wheat, whole grain, or pumpernickel bread. And He's not even our daily allotment of food, whatever that may be. Jesus is emphasizing bread as to be symbolic of all of our needs every day that we bring to our Heavenly Father. Everything that is necessary to make us whole, not just the minimum to get by, but everything we need physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Whether that be our food and our shelter, our clothing, our work, physical needs, and family needs, Jesus is saying, go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him. Martin Luther said this, bread was a symbol for everything that is needful for the preservation of this life. Here's some examples. Food, a healthy body, good weather, a house, a home, a wife, child, good government, peace, and all that He may preserve us from all manners of calamity, sickness, pestilence, dear times, war, and insurrection. Bread was a multifaceted representation of all the needs of our life. Those who listened to Jesus when He was teaching this on that hillside by the Sea of Galilee were ordinary workers living one day at a time, what we now refer to that as paycheck to paycheck. If most of them were to lose a few days because of illness or severe weather or political unrest, it would often spell certain tragedy for these people. And so Jesus is using a staple of their ordinary lives to remind them what they are to pray for. He is telling His children, His people, to lift up our eyes to our Heavenly Father for our basic needs. Jesus is not teaching a health and wealth and prosperity, or He would say, tell them to bring their champagne wishes and their caviar dreams. Some of you older people will get that. Millennials probably won't. That's, you know, just bougie requests. But instead, He's using the ordinary, the simple, the average bread as a reminder to pray for our needs, not our greeds. To pray for our necessities, not our luxuries. Whether it be the struggles that you have physically, emotionally, or financially, bring it to your Heavenly Father and He will provide your daily bread. Whether it be your spiritual health when you are poor and weak, bring it to your Heavenly Father and ask for your daily bread. Whether when your hearts are heavy, they're distracted, they're worried and weighed down, bring it to your Heavenly Father and ask for your daily bread. When your minds are confused and divided and distant and sometimes you're angry, bring it to your Heavenly Father and ask for your daily bread. Jesus is teaching us to approach our Heavenly Father for our everyday ordinary needs when He teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What are we to ask for? The things that we need. Who are we to ask? Well, as we see earlier in the Lord's Prayer, we're called to ask our Heavenly Father. In the history, I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago, that there has been vast interpretation on really what it means by daily bread. And many of the church fathers believe that this bread was symbolic of the Lord's Supper or the marriage feast of the Lamb that would come when Christ returned. But I believe they misunderstood this, and I believe there's a symbolism, in essence, that they were true, but actually, that I believe it's ordinary things of our lives, because I believe some of them misunderstood the heart of God for ordinary details of His children's lives. To them, it was, some of them even said, it was kind of silly to go to the Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth, to bother Him for bread. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And Jesus does not think it silly to bring our needs, our worries, our fears to Him for our daily bread. Why is that? Because Scripture tells us our Heavenly Father cares for us. Not just the big things, but the little daily hour by hour strength that you need to put one foot in front of the other. Tim Keller in, I don't know which book it is, but says this about the access that we have. The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access to our Heavenly Father as we confess is maker of heaven and earth. If you are united to Christ by faith, you are sons and daughters of God. Therefore, you have this astonishing right to go into the very throne room of heaven and at in the presence of Almighty God who loves you and to ask for your daily bread. For all those things that you don't even want to tell other people, you can bring it before our Heavenly Father. Earthly kings and presidents and parliaments care little for the poor and for the downtrodden. But our Heavenly Father, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, maker of heaven and earth, who holds all things together, cares deeply for the needs of His children. Our Father is not only involved in large-scale events and influential people, He cares about the ordinary details of ordinary people living ordinary lives just like you and me. The world may not know your name, but your Heavenly Father does. And He loves you and He says, bring me your needs and ask me for your daily bread. J.I. Packer put it this way. He said, to those who are Christ's, the Holy God is a loving Father. They belong to His family. They may approach Him without fear. Always be sure of His fatherly concern and care. This is the heart of the New Testament message. Brothers and sisters, we can come to our Heavenly Father in prayer and make our needs known. Not as strangers who receive little help or meager assistance from earthly fathers. We don't go as enemies who receive no help from earthly fathers, but as beloved children whose earthly fathers will do whatever they can to help their children. That is the relationship we have with Almighty God because of Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus later on in a couple chapters, He said this in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow nor gather in barns, and that your Heavenly Father feeds them what? Their daily grain. Not bread, grain, maybe crumbs. Then Jesus says, how much more valuable are you than the birds? Ocean Park, when you look at the little birds that go by and they sit in your trees and sing, remember, the Father cares for them. How much more valuable are you than them? Later on, Jesus says in Matthew 7, if you then, who are evil, sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children. I've talked to many of you in the struggles with maybe your younger children and older children, but as a parent's heart, you'll do anything for them to be able to help them. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Your Father loves you. Bring Him your needs and your request for daily bread. Later on in Matthew chapter 10, again, going back to the birds. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? These are little common everyday birds. And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. God is so involved in the ordinary details of His life. He knows when those little tiny birds fall and die. But He says, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Some of you gentlemen, that's a lot easier than others. But fear not. For you are more valuable than those sparrows who God, our Heavenly Father, knows all the details of their lives. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, knows the details of our life, and He says, bring me your cares. Ask me for your daily bread. Oshabar, do you believe this? Do you think this is too good to be true? Do you believe your Heavenly Father will provide for you? If you do, ask Him for what you need, your daily bread. Do you believe your Heavenly Father will give you what you need? Ask Him for what you need, your daily bread. Do you believe your Heavenly Father values you? If you do, ask Him for what you need, your daily bread. Jesus is teaching us that our Heavenly Father cares about everyday ordinary needs that we carry, and He therefore teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We are told what to ask for, our needs. We are told who to ask for, our Heavenly Father, and then we are given why we are to ask. A few years back, a presidential candidate attempting to show the relationship between government and private business infamously declared, "If you've got a business, you didn't build that." It caused quite the uproar. His political opponents seized the opportunity to attack his candidacy for all different reasons. And I remember at the time on I-10, a Jacksonville businessman bought a big giant billboard, put his company's name on it, and said, "I built this." Their response was a classic example of the spirit that built America from sea to shining sea. Independence, hardworking, about it despite the challenges. However, the same spirit of independence and hard work that built our nation will also keep us from praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." Why? Because the spirit of self-sufficiency says, "I don't need a handout. I can make my own bread." Far too often, before we ask for bread, we roll up our sleeves and go about the task of trying to make or find our own bread. We live in a world, and even as evangelicals, where self-sufficiency is considered a virtue. But when that happens, the American dream is elevated over the daily seeking of God's mercies. Jesus here is teaching us that bootstrap theology has no place for dependence on God. But this is not an American problem. This is a human problem. And it's not just a 21st century problem. This is over the existence of the whole world. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the fourth book of the Bible. No, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. No. Fifth book of the Bible. I learned that in seminary. Paid a lot of money for that. It's on page 152 in your pew Bible. Go to the front, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 8. You can't find it, that's okay. Go to the table of contents in the front of your Bible, and you'll see you can follow it down until you find the page number, and then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses is speaking to the next generation of Israelites who were raised in the wilderness and will be inheriting the promised land. A land of milk and honey, a good land, with houses they did not build and fortresses they did not build, but they will inherit these things, and they vineyards they did not plant, but they will work it and own it, and they will have it. But notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, the warning that Moses gives them. "Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command to you today. Lest when you have eaten, when you have filled your belly with your daily bread and wine and good food, and are full and have built good houses and live in them. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiply and all that you have is multiply, then your heart be lifted up. And notice this, and you forget the Lord. The Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock. Who did that? The Lord did that, and you drank full until you were thirsty no more. And the Lord, continuing, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, this is what Larry read to us, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, I built this. That's not in the Bible, but that's the essence. My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth or to get your daily bread, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Brothers and sisters, Moses is reminding us, Jesus is reminding us, that self-made men die of hunger in the wilderness. Let me say it again. Self-made men die of hunger in the wilderness. But the one who recognizes their need and the fact that all good things, even their ability to work and to build good things and successful businesses and careers and entrepreneurships and homes and all of these things, the ability to work and earn good things comes from God's good and gracious hands. James says this and reminds us in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. Ocean Park, let me tell you this. Everything you have, your food, your home, even your intelligence, your strength, your wealth, your security, your skills, it all came from the gracious hand of your Heavenly Father. It wasn't a handout that was given to the lazy, but it was the generous provision of a God who gives good gifts to his children. And the Creator God, who in 6 days created all things, who then says, have dominion and continue my work of creation, creating beautiful things, good things, things that serve our neighbor, that reflect the holiness of God. It all comes from our Heavenly Father. Farmers still plow and sow and reap and trust our Heavenly Father that causes things to grow. Bakers still mix and knead and bake the bread and sell it to provide. When you go to the grocery store, somebody made that bread. Somebody planted the seed and harvest the crop. Carpenters still measure and cut and nail and finish. CPAs still count, record, and analyze. Brothers and sisters, the work that you do, from selling cars to fixing jet engines, from teaching your children to arguing court cases, from caring for the sick to waiting on tables, from mowing lawns to cutting hair, is all done with diligence and hard work according to the mercies of God who provides for you your daily bread. Every day that you wake up, and you have breath in your lungs, and you can get your carcass out of bed and go to work, or to whatever calling God has given you, that is the empowerment of the gracious mercies of a God which are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Your opportunities, your strength, your knowledge, your abilities, your proficiencies, the breath in your lungs, everything is because of the mercies of God that gives you your daily bread. If the Lord were to withhold those mercies, you would die in the wilderness of hunger. We sang this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness, a song written in the 1930s by a professor at the Moody Bible Institute, where Denise and I attended. And the words were this, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, my daily bread, Your hand has provided. Great is Your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Ocean Park, when you sang that song, did you mean it? Or do you still think it's your strength that provides the bread that you eat? Your hard work that opens doors and fulfills your needs. Your knowledge, your ability, your tenacity that causes you to rise to the top. If you have any good thing, you didn't do that alone. It was the mercies of God to you, and you were obedient to work and to be faithful, to sow and reap and fertilize, and then at the end of the day to lay your head down and rest, because it is God who makes the crop grow. Tim Keller, in his book Prayer, there's an appendix at the end with prayers, various prayers throughout the day to remind you of our calling as Christians. And one of them is called Prayer Upon Beginning One's Work or Study. And it's like, and it goes like this. This is a wonderful prayer. If you want to get it from me later, write this down on a card, put it on your desk at work, put it on your, wherever you do your business at the beginning of the day, to look that up and pray this. My good God, Father and Savior, grant me by aid of your Holy Spirit to now work fruitfully in my vocation, which is from you. All in order to love you and the people around me rather than for my own gain and glory. Give me wisdom and judgment and prudence and freedom from my besetting sin. Sins that will affect you in how that you work. Bring me under the rule of true humility. Let me accept with patience whatever amount of faithfulness or difficulty in my work that you give me this day. And in all that I do, help me to rest always in my Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace alone for my salvation and life. Hear me, merciful Father, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you got in the habit of praying that prayer as you clocked in, or before you took your first call from a client or a customer, wherever the Lord, even for you in your retirement, where a project or a ministry that you're involved, if you prayed this prayer every day, how would it change how you work? I can imagine that it would add gratitude and thankfulness and a proper perspective. Ocean Park, these should be our prayers as we rise in the morning to go about our God-ordained calling. Give us our daily bread. Strengthen our bodies to work for you. Give us eyes to see goodness and truth and beauty in our vocations, even when it's hard to find. Focus our mind to differentiate between righteousness of God and the wickedness of this world. Give us the courage to obey your laws and honor your holiness when all those around us are not doing that. For without the daily mercies of God's daily bread, we are lost and hungry in a dying world. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Jesus is teaching us that our Heavenly Father cares about the everyday, ordinary needs when He teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, as I close, I have to qualify that the promises of this sermon that are based on the Word of God are the promises of God's provision for those who belong to Jesus Christ, having been united to Him by faith. We live in a world where bread is plenty. There's the bread of pleasure. There's the bread of power. There's the bread of politicians and bread of achievement, of comfort and popularity. You may say the bread of idolatry of many different ways. These breads are come at a great personal price, but they quickly, though may satisfy you for a moment and fill your belly, it is a false fulfillment that cannot satisfy your soul. Jesus talked about this in John chapter 6. And Jesus said to the crowd, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And one in the crowd immediately cried out, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, one of the great I am statements of Scripture, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." We come to Jesus by renouncing our attempts and our previous yearning for the breads of this world, whether they are given to us by celebrities or politicians or wealth and corporations or by our own self. We renounce those breads of this world, which is sin and rebellion against God, a rebellion that is, we are spiting ourselves because we are spurning the bread of life. But we come to Jesus and the promises of one of our verses that says, "Whoever comes to me will not be cast out." Brothers and sisters, if you don't know Jesus, friends, neighbors, visitors, if you don't know Jesus, He says, "Come unto me and I will give you the bread that you need to satisfy your soul." Jesus is the bread that we need every day, for He is the bread that has been sent down from heaven. Go to Him, turn away from the empty carbs of the sin of this world and submit to Christ and His kingdom that it was secured for you at the cross. Repent and believe that you may have life and be satisfied, so that you can pray each day to our good and faithful King Jesus, through Jesus to our Heavenly Father, "Give us this day our daily bread." Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you that in a world where there are many people and many voices offering us the bread of this world that will not satisfy, fleeting satisfaction that quickly ebbs away, Father, there is the bread that comes down from heaven and the water of life that satisfies our soul and then unites us to God in peace as brothers and as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in this kingdom. And we can have confidence that all our basic daily needs, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, our Heavenly Father cares. He knows, and it's His pleasure to give us, because we are weak, but He is strong. In the name above all names we pray, and all God's people said, amen.